Hello, hello, hello. This is Utrice Lead, and it's been a long, long time since we talked with each other, but you just heard one of my favorites, Miles Davis, with Blue and Green from his 1959 album, Kind of Blue. This is Utrice Lead, and you're listening to PRN.FM on a kind of blue day for me, in that the program, which is a first, the program is originating from my hospital bed. And this is the intro to a program that I want to share with you, because it is meant to be a shared journey. Well, of course, it's been 17 days since we last talked, and that's a long time to go without talking with each other. But a lot has happened in these 17 days. So let me start at when it began. It started on the 12th, I believe, of April. You know, in good Caribbean tradition, you're supposed to have your house all cleaned up and ready to go, rid of all unnecessary items and all useless items, and you're supposed to be all spick and span to be ready for the new year. And that means you've got to do some heavy-duty cleaning. Well, I was not at home in Florida for the old year transitioning into the new year, so I was not home for heavy-duty cleaning. And when I did get back home at the beginning of the year, I said, well, time to do my West Indian thing and start cleaning up the house in order to make it presentable and to start afresh. The whole ritual is meant to signify that you're starting afresh, you're clearing out all of the old clutter, and you're taking on a brand new outlook for the new year. And besides which, there is an accompanying folk tale that says, the way you start the year is the way the year will go. So all the more reason to pay attention to this old tradition of cleaning out your house so that you can start the year right and in order. Well, I didn't start the year right. But I was in the process of it. I as soon as I could get to it, I started cleaning. And on that Sunday, I said, you know what? It's time to take a break. I started so early that by the time it was about 10 o'clock, I was famished. And I didn't even want to stop to make breakfast and go through that ritual. So I said, I'll go down to the Dunkin' Donuts. It's about a block away from me. And I'll have some coffee and whatever else I could have there. And I did. I walked down and I ordered a coffee, and I ordered a bagel and an egg, a bagel and egg sandwich. And in the interim, as I got to my little table, a friend of mine called, a very dear friend of mine called, and we started talking. And right in the middle of the discussion, I started feeling so awful. I mean, really, really awful. The last time I felt that awful was when I had a really bad flu. And it had me get up from the table, and I ran to the bathroom, and I threw up, and I did that about six different times. And I had the feeling that I needed to talk to the manager just in case this was really bad food poisoning. So I alerted the manager. I told him what I had had, and that I began to feel ill, and he was very, very concerned. And he gave me some lemon water, and he gave me some, a chair, and he tried to make me as comfortable as possible. And it subsided, but only momentarily. It got really, really bad. And then I said, well, look, let me take a little bit of a breath here, and then I'll go home. But I ended up having to call a cab to take me that one block home. One block home, I couldn't walk it. I got home and just ran for the bed. And I began to rest, and soon I faded off to sleep. And then I woke up some hours later, apparently. But when I woke up, both I and the bed were drenched in sweat, and really bad feeling, very bad feeling. So I said, what I will do is I'll call 911. And I did. I called 911. And they arrived, and they did all of their things. They loaded me up and off to the hospital. By then, I had chest pains. By then, I was feeling really bad. And so they took me to the emergency room and began the protocols, you know, the blood work and whatnot for chest pains, and everything came back. They didn't see any irregularities. They didn't see any irregularities in my blood. They didn't see any irregularities in my heart. They didn't see any irregularities really in the blood work that would tell them, yes, I was either in the process of having a heart attack, or I had just had a heart attack, or I would soon have a heart attack. Nothing pointed to it. So there began the mystery of what was this? What was this? They kept me overnight and did more tests, and then finally there was an X-ray. And then they took me upstairs to the cardiac unit for observation, and I stayed there overnight. And then the following morning, again, more blood work, more tests to find out what was going on with my heart. And they couldn't find anything wrong with my heart, but the symptoms were consistent with a heart problem. And then the next day came a result that there were irregular cells that were showing up in the lungs. And it blew me apart. I said, wow, in the lungs, cells, malignant cells in my lungs, how could they possibly have gotten there? And I was getting questions about how long had I been smoking. And of course, I never smoked in my life. And came reports of irregular nodules in the lung, and then in the next lung as well, and that they were trying to decide what was the next thing to do and where were these cells coming from, and whether these were in fact malignant cells, were they benign cells, what were they? They didn't. So then began the next level of hunting, and it was to find out what was the nature of these cells in my lungs. And they came back and said, yes, they are malignant cells in the lungs. Then the next set of questions, well, if they are malignant cells in the lungs, did they originate there? Or are they coming from someplace else? So the next set of hunting to answer those questions. Well, the cells are malignant. That's been confirmed. A biopsy was done. And when just to assure that everything was right. A second biopsy, a more intensive one, was done that took a section of the lung, and they confirmed it. Yes, these are malignant cells. And now to find out the answer to the other question. They did not think that the cells originated in the lungs. They think the cells came from someplace else. And that was the hunt for several of the following days to find out where the cells, the malignant cells, were coming from. About 2 days ago, there came a determination that the cells were coming, the malignant cells were coming from the uterus and from the lining of the uterus, the endometrium. And therefore, the cells that were found in the lung, these malignant cells, were actually cells that had metastasized in the lung. That is to say, the cells left their point of origin and migrated northward to the lungs and settled there and set up their own little colony in both lungs. And so we have a migration pattern of the cells, and that is never good news. The word metastasis is not a good word in the medical profession. It means that the cancer, which is what it is, has spread. And so now comes the question as to how do we deal with this? How do we deal with this situation? Well, from the beginning, I have always had an attitude that, you know, life is life. You live and then you die. Everybody living has got to die. You just want to die nicely. And this is not a particularly nice way to go. But I'm not fatalistic about it. I don't feel, you know, the gloom and death and, you know, all of that stuff surrounding me, breathing down my neck, and the Grim Reaper standing nearby 24/7, waiting to just, you know, claim me. But it is a serious situation. And where we are now is making some additional decisions about how do we treat this situation? How do we treat it? Do we remove the uterus and the lining? Do we remove? We can't remove that much of the lung because it apparently is quite loaded with malignant cells at this point. But it is quite treatable just the same. So we will figure out a way. I thought I would share this story with you because, number one, you needed to know why we weren't talking for 17 days. It is not, I mean, it was more torturous than you know for me to not be in contact with you for 17 days. But also, because things, life can come at you at 100 miles an hour from a completely unexpected angle, when you are least prepared for it. You least prepared for it. And you just have to deal with it. You have to deal with what life gives you, what life presents to you. The good thing so far is that I've gotten great support, from moral support from my friends and my family. But I want to share this because I think it is something, there's a lesson in this whole thing for all of us, I think. What do you do when you're confronted with a really serious situation where you have to make a decision, where your life is hanging in the balance, and you have to decide? either way, your life is hanging in the balance. But you must decide. I'm very close to a decision, and there are people who have been helping me arrive at that decision. One of them is Gary Null, who I've been talking to. And as you know, he is very, very well-versed in his field. I've been talking with Dr. Arthur Lewis, an excellent physician who has also been guiding me in my decision. And others who have gone through these kinds of life-changing experiences. And just before I got on the air, in fact, a very dear friend of mine called and talked with me and said, I want to help you make a decision. And she spoke very, very wisely to me. But here's a question to you. What do you do? What is the protocol for facing down a life-altering, life-threatening decision and a situation where everybody agrees it's not the best? What do you do? How do you handle it? Where do you go? It's a big question. Now, they kept asking me about how often I had been smoking because the natural inclination was to believe that the presence of the cancerous cells in the lungs had to do with smoking. And, of course, I never smoked in my life. But I was down in the World Trade Center area when 9/11 occurred, and only now am I thinking about that. Could that have triggered these nodules in my lungs? Could that have triggered the situation? We don't know. But whether it did or not, because we dealt with the stench of all of that chemical smoke and toxic fumes and all of that for months, and the dust that remained, and all of that for months. But whether that was the source of it or not, here we are at a situation where a decision must be made because a life hangs in the balance. So I ask you, where does one go? What does one do at a time like this? It's a heavy question, but it really isn't as morbid as some may think it is. It actually is a philosophical question. Where does one go to find an answer as to what you do in a life-altering, life-threatening situation, and your decision, a decision has to be made? It's a tough, tough program, I know. But I thought I would ask you that question today and find out what you think. Find out what you would do. In the meantime, I would like to ask you to walk this journey with me, because part of what it is I want to do with this particular situation, this particular challenge that I'm facing, is to share it as a way of documenting not just my journey through it, but perhaps a way of dealing with these kinds of things. Because clearly, we have, in the process of making a decision, we have to weigh and judge which is a better approach, which is not a better approach. And we'll be getting to that in a couple of other programs right after today's program. What the alternatives are, what the approaches are, what might work, what has not worked, and how to situate myself for the best possible outcome. But I would like you to help me and walk with me in this journey, if you are so inclined. So we can share this as a very special moment among us. I do want to ask for your help, and I've been working closely with African World Info Systems. African World Info Systems is the publisher of the works of Amos Wilson, and I've been working closely with them also on a new project involving the works of Professor John Henrik Clark. I want to finish that project. If you are inclined to contribute, contact African World Info Systems at 718-462-1830. And if you are inclined to contribute, I encourage you to do so. It would be a great gesture and a great encouragement to me to get this work finished. Again, it's African World Info Systems at 718-462-1830. They are located at 743 Rogers Avenue, Suite 6-3L. Suite 6-3L, Brooklyn, New York, 11226. So here we are, and I thought I should also let you know that I am not despairing. I'm not despondent. I'm not shattered. I'm not broken. I am a little bit dismayed, and it is quite a challenge before me. But I'm not feeling overwhelmed and defeated. And still I believe that the greater meaning that could come out of this is that we kind of hold hands and walk through this together. Because I think of you as an extended family. And if we talk this out, we could probably get a heck of a lot more out of this than we ever imagined. So those are my remarks today. I'm inviting you into the world that I now live in. It's a world of mystery and questions. It's a world of puzzlement. It's a world of fear. It's a world of anger. I'm imagining I will get to that point at some point. It's a world of many things. But mostly, it is a world in which we have to make yet another decision. And these are the decisions that we confront all throughout our lives. What do we do? What do we do in situations like this? Where do we turn? What decisions do we make? And how do we know that we're making the right decisions? I'll take this little break and come back to your thoughts, and we will proceed. And thank you so much for joining me today. This means a great deal to me. Right after this break, we'll come back and talk with you.
Thank you.
You're listening to PRN.FM, and you're listening to Utrecht Lead and Lead Stories on PRN.FM. The number is 888-874-4888 to engage in perhaps one of the most difficult discussions we've had so far about a very daunting decision ahead of me, immediately ahead of me, and getting your input into the scenario that we now share, because I've just told you about it. But again, I'm asking that you do not believe at all that I am, you know, at the point of death, or that I believe myself to be. I don't. It is a very serious situation. But I believe, I'm hopeful. And I'm thinking that there are answers, and I'm thinking that because there are good people around me who tell me that, and I believe. But I'm interested in what you believe, and what kind of decision would you make if you were in the situation? Let's hear your calls at 888-874-4888. Ma'at, you are on the air. Hello? Okay, she's not on the air. 888-874-4888. I'm asking, if you can, at this time, because there are projects that I wish to complete, and a wonderful way of encouraging me would be to help me complete these projects. Contact African World Info Systems at 718-462-1830. We're working on the works of Dr. John Henrik Clark, and we want to complete that. 888-874-4888 is the number to talk with me at this moment, and I welcome your thoughts. Hello, George from New Jersey. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. Just a simple idea I have, because I thought about this, and I know a lot of people have had cancer, and I've been sort of giving them the alternative, you know, approaches and that are available. And basically, what I suggest is that for the first 2 or 3 months, that they try 2 or 3 of the best alternative approaches that there are, whatever they are. Gary Null would be able to tell you much better than I would. Try it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, see how it works. And if it works, you're good. And if it doesn't, you can go to the standard approaches. But
okay.
The notion would be to stay away from chemo and X-ray and so on, because it weakens the system.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I'm told that one does have some time. That is, that from the time that you're given the diagnosis till, you know, it's too late, there's some time, a month or two or three, usually. And during that time, you could try these alternative approaches, most of which strengthen your immune system and your system, and probably will help you if you decide to go to the more traditional approaches.
Thank you, George.
You're welcome.
You for that. I appreciate it.
Right. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Jamila from Louisiana, you're on the air.
Hotep, Sister Utrecht.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
And we were wondering where you were.
Yeah, so I know.
I'm sorry to hear, you know, why you were off the air, but as you say, it's not the end, and there are alternative methods, and I'm sure listening to Gary Null is very, very helpful. He knows a lot on that subject.
Yes.
But I'd also like to say, in terms of Afro World, the book publishers that you were talking
yes.
about, that Brother Sababu Plata? Is he
yes.
still there?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. So, yeah, I do plan to support you.
Thank
I know
you.
One thing, your diet, when I heard you talk about that meal that you had with caffeine and bagels, I know the your diet will probably have to change.
Oh, yes.
Caffeine is very acidic, and maybe a plant-based diet, going to a plant-based diet, fruits and vegetables and lots of water, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other holistic practitioners that offer a place where you can go in order to live a lifestyle change. There's Dr. Paul Goss in Arizona, Dr. Cousins in Arizona. There are other places, because a lot of times when we stay in our same environment, it's very difficult to make those changes. But when you're away and sort of all the only things that you can have, it just makes it easier to do make the lifestyle changes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I wanted to share with you. And
well,
we miss you very much. Good to have you back.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. I will continue to the extent that I'm able to, of course. But I thought it was important to tell people, so as honestly as I can, you know, what was going on. It is important.
Yes.
I want people to know.
Right, because we were trying to contact you on Facebook, on emails.
I saw that, yes. I see that, yes.
Whoa, where are you? We missed those wonderful shows that you would have and that insight that you brought to the programming and those wonderful guests that you had. So we look forward to continuing that, and we know you'll be well very, very soon.
Thank you so much. And I will, of course, this was going to be a running narration of what everything that is happening, because apart from everything else, I'm hoping to share it as part of a way of educating people about, you know, how, when we come to these decisions, you know, what people typically face, you know, making these kinds of decisions. And, and of course, I think of the PRN family as a family, and I thought it was only fair to kind of share it with you just as it is happening. So
well,
thank you so
you.
Much, Jamila, for your words. And for your support. Thank you.
We love you.
Thank you
so much. Have a wonderful day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
From Staten Island, Richard, you're on the air. Or is it Richmond, Virginia? Hello? Okay, Matt from Baton Rouge. Hello?
Hello. Can you hear
me? Yes, you're on the air. Yes.
Okay. Well, listen, I think you're getting, just from the last woman, some very good advice. Everything is about your diet. And I suggest juicing added to whatever she says. And definitely this thing about the plant-based diet
mm-hmm.
can do everything you need if you keep your attitude together. And you've got that together very well.
Well, thank you.
And listen, you've got the best guy in the world. You work for him.
Yeah.
You know, and he can tell you everything you need to know. All of these things are defeatable, but it really takes a commitment to changing your diet, no matter how hard it is. It has to be that. It has to be done that way.
Yes.
And you know, you've done so much for me over the years. Because you're so wise about your political stuff, and you see the black thing so clearly. And I just want to say I love you, and I'm with you all the way.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Change your diet. Change your diet.
Will do.
It'll do it.
I already have begun that. I mean, in a more radical way than I did before, but I already have. Well, thank you so much, Matt, for your advice, and thank you for your support. I really appreciate it. Thank you. Hello, Stuart. You're on the air.
Boy, this really hit me in the face. I didn't expect this. I hope you didn't tell Gary about your going to the shop down the street and getting the coffee and the bagel.
I did. I had to lay everything on the line.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the best. The truth is that.
You can't hide anything.
Yeah.
So I laid everything on the line.
Here's where I'm coming from. I don't know how long ago, but all of a sudden I started seeing people getting cancer left and right.
Mm-hmm.
And I also know people don't take advice. I mean, I hear people telling you to do this and do that, and I understand coming from the receiving end, and it's really hard when you give a lot of things coming at you. I decided to start my own research before I got sick. And I never had cancer, but I signed up for a lot of newsletters. I listen to a lot of shows. I've been listening to Gary for over 15 years, taking copious notes and using his archives. And I hear him talking about a lot of studies done regarding cancer. And basically, I'm preparing for that moment for myself because I see so many people getting cancer. Everyone's listening to their doctor in quotes, and everyone's getting chemo and radiation and doing their surgery. And then after that's not doing any good, they start thinking, well, I'll go to alternative medicine. And so one girl did something. She drank snake's blood. I never heard of that one. But if people get so desperate, and it's a shot in the dark because I see what's out there, and there is so much out there that you don't know which way to turn, and people that are turning to alternative medicine as a last resort, they're lost. I mean, if they're just starting at the bottom, because I've been doing this for years, and I have to say I've listened to different resources, and I find Gary to be at the top of the cutting edge of information. He's always talking about, he's reading studies from peer-reviewed journals. He talks about certain peer-reviewed journals being having integrity. Others you can't trust. And so there's a lot of that going on. And, of course, there's the website. I mean the Internet. So I've been collecting a lot of information, cancer-wise. I get a lot of things in my email. I file them away. I haven't had time to read most of everything. There's also something going on now, as of the last 6 months or year, where they have these summits. Have you heard about these summits that are going on?
No.
One was a thyroid summit put on by a pharmacist in Colorado. Put it together. She's got her background in pharmacology, but she really advocates trying to do it without drugs. She has organized a few summits. I think the first one was on the thyroid, and there's something like 25 to 30. Experts, whether they're doctors or researchers, every day they interview maybe four of them, three or four. And this goes on for maybe a couple weeks. And I can't keep up with it myself, so since I have diabetes, I ended up paying for the recordings myself so I can get to it when I have time. These summits, I find, are interesting because you're getting different perspectives, different approaches.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it to be very interesting and very helpful. You, after doing it for so long, I find certain people that I feel I can trust their information. others, like, say, maybe Dr. Oz or Dr. Andrew Weil, I find them to be kind of in the middle. Some things they say, I mean, they have some good things, but I also hear them saying some things that that don't hold water for me, like Dr. Oz mm-hmm. telling people to use a microwave oven to cook, and he's pro-vaccine, and there's other things.
I understand what you're saying. Yeah. The idea is to look at information. There are trusted sources and sources that, you know, you have to look askance at. I understand that. And it holds true for everything, really.
But everything. I compare what Gary says and what other people say, and when I especially when I find someone else saying similar things to what Gary's saying, like this pharmacist, I finally decided that I believe in her, and I went ahead and sent away for her books. And one I have here is Diabetes Without Drugs, and mm-hmm. she talks about using resveratrol. You've heard of that, right?
Yes.
Things like that, things that are cutting-edge information. There's been a lot of studies done on resveratrol.
Very much. Thank you so much.
One more thing.
Sure.
Are you still there?
Yes.
If I was in your situation, I would talk to Gary about checking into a clinic, which one he would recommend.
Oh, he has already done that. I'm checking into the Gary Null Clinic.
Oh, he has his own clinic?
Later on this week. Well, he's going to take me on as a special case. But that is coming up later this week.
I'm just saying this. Sometimes people are too weak to do it on their own. Like, some of your callers have suggested juicing, and I highly believe in that also. There was one girl I know, friend of a friend, who she was too weak to go out and get vegetables, too weak to do the juicing, and she would have been a prime candidate to check into one of these clinics where they do it all for you.
I'll definitely take you up on your suggestion, Stuart, and thank you so much for
Well, thank you for your show, Utrecht, and thank you for sharing this. This was great to hear this.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Take care.
Thank you. From Chicago, our beloved Henry, how are you today?
Hi, Dreetrice. How are you doing?
Okay.
All right. This was like a big punch in the gut when you told me this, because I'm like, we were wondering, like, okay, what's going on? There's something serious that, you know, had to be going on. But unfortunately, you know, my premonitions was correct, because I was like, you know, she literally had to be on her deathbed if she can't be doing shows. And unfortunately, I had to hear this. But, you know, Utrecht, I think the only thing I can do, I'm a very spiritual person, and I will be constantly praying for you
Thank you so much.
You know, you're very valuable to the community, very valuable to us listeners, and we really, really need your expertise, your insight, everything. And it brings me to a perspective too, that we need more people like you in media, because, you know, unfortunately, if something happens to you, there's nobody else we can, like, really turn to. Like me, I don't know, you know, who I'll turn to with good insight, you know, on world events, so or events in our community. So it's sort of like, you know, we need to gather more people up like you so we can train them to, you know, be more insightful and give more information to our community, because you know, I hate to say it, but like, if something happens to you, it's like there's nobody else we can, like, really turn to, you know. So you know, all I want, you know, is to, you know, for you to make a speedy recovery. And it's a situation where, you know, we have to start looking into finding other people like you to give this information over, you know, mass media airwaves. Because, like I said, you're the best political show or even social show that I know out there, you know, so.
Well, thank you. But you know what, Henry, the thing is that I look at it, I mean, so far what I've been getting is what I would get from my own family. And that proves the whole point. We are a family. So when things go bad, you come to your family and you tell them. And you tell them just as it is. There's no need to hide it. There's no need to, you know, kind of dance around it. This is the situation. Mm-hmm. And I know and trust that I would get the best possible advice from the family. I know that. And the best support is right from the family. And right here, I know I will find my healing. I know that. And that's why I'm not despondent. That's why.
Well, yeah. Well, like I said, I'll be praying for you. And I'm pretty sure you'll be doing all the things you can to, you know, keep, you know, stay around. So.
Yes, I'll do my very best to stay around because we have a lot of work to do. A lot of work to do.
Exactly.
And it's wonderful to hear your voice and your sentiments, and certainly I could use your prayers, my brother. I certainly can.
All right. God bless.
Thank you. Again, if you'd like to help, there's one way you can do that. You can call 718-462-1830. It is African World Info Systems, and there's a project that I've been working on and working in conjunction with African World Info Systems on, and we're hoping to finish it. So it would give me the incentive to keep on. I'm looking forward to your support at 718-462-1830. We have Ron. You're on the air.
Jeez.
Hello, Ron.
How are you?
I'm hanging in. How are you?
Well, good. Like Henry said, when you weren't on the air, I said something is real serious. And but what I did want to call is to wish you all the best, and that we're definitely pulling for you. And I'm not going to be selfish and say because we want you back on the air, but we want you to be in good health.
Great. Thank you so much.
And then the other thing is just that that you're a really big person. I mean, as in heart, to be able to come on the air and actually say that, because people usually retreat. So, but we know that you're a fighter. So that's not gonna slow you up. But
not at all.
Yeah. And the other thing that I was gonna say is just that I know that you're taking a consensus of people's opinions, and I'm sure that you'll decide what you want to do. But actually, the person if I had to give my 2 cents, the person that I would hope that you would consider working with would be Gary, because I think that Gary would be the person that would be able to help you, along with any other modalities, get you through this. So I'm sure he's been waiting for you. I'm sure he said, why did you take so long? But that's...
No, Gary has been extremely kind, and definitely is going to be the person I'm going to be turning to. And, of course, there are other people who have been very supportive of that decision. That's where I'm going.
Well, it's good.
At times like this, you need the best.
Yeah, I have no doubt that that's going to be the thing that will help. So, but on the other side of the coin is just that I'm not going to be selfish, and I'm going to say that you need to take all the time that you need, and you've laid the groundwork so the rest of us can pick up the pace too. So. You need to do what you need to do, and we need to do what we need to do. So you've put the call out there. So now now some of us have to do something too. So you sound like you're in a good frame of mind, and you're willing to go at this because you're not a person to to say, oh, what should I do? You are going to do something, so it's going to everything is going to work out, and we'll all be pulling for you, and we'll all have you'll have us all in your thoughts and the energy and everything else. So, and this is going to work out.
Thank you very much for your sentiments and for your kind wishes, Ron. I really do appreciate it. And that's what I'll be leaning on in the weeks and months ahead. Thank you so much.
Well, you'll know that there's lots and lots of people. So we definitely going to send you the energy, but also there's things that you need to do. So, and if you need for us to do things, you need to ask us too, because we've been asking you, so you should not feel that you can't ask. So you should, if you need to ask, you should do that.
Well, I'm asking people call African World Info Systems at
718-462-1830.
1830. And help me get this last piece of work I need to get done. And it will not be the last piece of work.
We need to get to Sababa.
Yeah, we need to get this piece of work done. It's Dr. John Henrik Clark's unpublished work, and I committed to doing it. So that's what I want to do.
Great. Okay, well,
but thank you so much for your kind thoughts today. We have time for one more call, at least, before we go. Richard, you're on the air.
Trace, you there?
Yes.
Okay. First off, I'm joining the Sending You Lots of Love Club.
Thank you.
And now's the time to take for yourself, to love yourself. Your body wants to heal itself, and it can still rid itself of the cancer. This is not going to be the last work project you're doing right now. You're very fortunate to have GN help you.
Yes.
Your soul, no matter what, your soul, you know this, it never dies, and you're a perfect piece of God. I emailed you a link to a book I just read called Your Life After Death, which has some great insights in it. And that's about all I have to say.
Well, thank you very much, Richard. And thank you for your very kind words.
You're far from done.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Ah, we have some more time. Richard was quite succinct. That means we have time for you. You're on the air.
Yes, Hotep sister.
Hello, Maat.
We love you dearly and deeply, and of course you've been missed with the latest state of police and state violence. But very quickly, I want to mention a few things. First of all, look into working with someone close with you who understand how a pendulum work is a personal form of dowsing to help in your selecting treatments. Of course, there's cannabis oil, but not so in reach, but Ron Simpson, I believe his name, put on YouTube how he cured his cancer. And Joyce Rowley did something that you're doing in terms of sharing when she got cancer and it metastasized on her Power Hour. And she's taken a couple weeks off and has just returned, but she's been sharing what she's been doing. And most recently, she had some good success with, the website would be Sound Health Options, where her sound frequency, it sounds far out, but everything is frequency, and Sherry Edwards came to her or sent someone to her and calibrated or gave her a sound frequency, not sure of all the particulars, and it gave her some tremendous energy and health with her metastasizing cancer. Additionally, she's been doing very well more recently with ozone therapy, and this is something that I'm sure Gary will be advising you, but divine providence is what we're looking for at this point in terms of all of us coming together in the beloved community and to the Most High, putting our thought out to the universe, which has always returned the correct results. So our prayers, our meditations will be with you. We want you to connect with
out some our prayers, our meditation will be with you. We want you to get that.
All right. Well, we've come to the end of the program today, and I want to thank you all for calling and for contributing. And we'll see you tomorrow again from my hospital bed. Take care. Bye-bye.